Scripture reads, verse 1, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversity of operations, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Amen. The Lord add his blessing to his word. Trust that we're all doing well this morning.
Amen.
A little bit cold. I think Brother Roger and Brother Carlos are really rebuilding the heating system. So I'm told it may be done by Tuesday. So praise the Lord for their efforts. And just a little bit chilly. Thank God it's not below zero. Amen. So we're going to continue on. Now, we were doing placing of gifts for this entire month. And this is my last lesson for until we switch over. So I'm going to recap a few items and then hit a few more areas to go a little deeper on the subject. And as you know, the Word of God is inexhaustible, it's eternal. So we can go on this subject. But I trust that we'll have a better understanding of this subject by the time that we're done after this month, after this lesson today. So there's a few items that I'd like to hit if we could. Reaching back to what Brother Branham talked about, the purpose of placing of the gifts and what the gifts are for. And he mentions this in 1954, God's Provided a Way of Healing. He says, this is what God, why God gave the gifts. He gave the gifts for to magnify him, to unify the people, to bring the body together, and to help us to unite our efforts and our prayers. So glorify God and unite the body of Christ, right, essentially. And so when we do this, when the gifts are properly placed, as Brother Branham said, and we mentioned earlier in the Sunday school lesson, is that it brings down the power and the blessings of God. So when everything is order and everybody's in position, then the blessings of God and the power of God can come down. Amen. Now, also, he mentions that the gifts are to help one another as well. We know that in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that when one part of the body is suffering, then the other parts of the body are not feeling well and want to help that part of the body. And so God is in the business of helping, right? And I think Brother Marcel, when he was preaching last Sunday, was talking about what love is, and love is an action. And love is about helping, especially when that person cannot return the favor. So we see somebody as in need. We're not expecting something in return. We do it because something drives us to do that, right? And that's the love of God. God knew that we needed salvation. God knew that we would need the shedding of blood. God knew that we needed him to die for us. And so he gave his life for us. We didn't deserve it, but he gave it, and we could not repay him back, right? And so that is... And you know, we know that the gifts, what drives the gifts is the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 13, because that's the greatest gift, right, is love. And that's the Spirit of God. So a few other points. Remember that gifts, they can move through the body, but also somebody can be born with that particular gift. Now, when we talk about moving through the body, he talks about how the nine spiritual gifts can move throughout the local congregation, right? And somebody can get inspired, and you know, God would put an unction on them to lay hands on them, and that's a gift of healing and operation, unctioning them to lay hands. And we talked about that with the woman that wanted to pray for the woman with the baby, or the baby itself, and God moved that upon her. But we also know there are specific individuals like Brother Higginbotham, Brother Junior Jackson, Brother Neville, that had a gift, whether it was prophecy, speaking in tongues, or interpretation of tongues. And so we know that that's taking place. And he says that the gifts, they operate in any good praying congregation. So we know that prayer is a key. He says that we are to pray for these gifts to be operating in the congregation. So not for us individually per se, but for those gifts to be manifesting themselves in the congregation. So prayer is a key part of these to be operating more and more. We know that healing comes by music. We talked about that. And we know that God wants us to focus on the giver rather than the gift, because when the gift is an operation, we see the powerful part of that. You know, whether it's somebody that can sing really well, has a gift of music or singing, or somebody who has a gift of prophecy, there's a tendency to gravitate towards the carnal part or what we can see. But it's actually God we want to magnify, because it's God working in all of this. So when there's a true gift there, it's from God. And so we ought to magnify the Creator who has given that gift. And we must ensure the gift is used in its proper place. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the order of the gifts and some nuances with that a little bit this morning. And so if you could just bear with me a little bit as I, since I've finished the review, now I'm going to go into the rest of the lesson. So Brother Branham gives some instructions and cautions on the use of the gifts. So it starts out, and I believe some of this is a little bit of review, but we're going to dive a little bit deeper in this subject. So a question was asked to Brother Branham in 1954, a question and answers. And it says, is it out of order for someone to stand up in the church and reprove a minister for something he has said or done during service and him behind the sacred desk? All these things has been done at the tabernacle several times. And we know that's wrong, right? And so we know, and we talked about the order of the headship, and we talked about the position of the pastor and how that kind of flows. And so, you know, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet, as the scripture says. So now talking about that, he makes this statement. He says, listen, my children, those gifts are wonderful. Nobody knows how I appreciate you, and I love you with godly love. But those gifts can be a harm to you if you don't use them in the right place. And so when we talk about this, a true gift used improperly can cause a lot of damage and a lot of harm. So now as we go further, now you people that speak with tongues and has got gifts of tongue, God bless you. You're needed in this tabernacle. I want you here, but now the things in order. Now you're going to hear that Brother Branham talks about an orderliness, right? We're not talking about organization per se, but God has an order. If you look at the stars in the sky and how the planets, they operate around the sun, God has an order. And everything is happening just perfectly. It's not chaos, it's order. And so we know that, you know, before sin came into this world, that everything was operating in order. If you look at the scriptures about the order of the hosts, talking about the angels, there is an order of the hosts, right? There's those that are in charge, like Gabriel, Wormwood, and different angels that he names, and then there's sub-angels. We know that when Daniel was praying, and there was an angel that was going to answer that prayer that Daniel was praying for, but he was held back. And we know that different ones intervene, like Michael and different ones who are more powerful and are higher in the hierarchy that can intervene in those type of situations. You understand what I'm saying? And so there is a order, like God likens to his people as being in an army of God. And so, you know, there's generals, there's commanders, and there's ones that just serve, right? And so we see that pattern laid out in the scriptures when Moses was around and Jethro gave him advice about how to handle the people and said, you can have judges over tens and hundreds and thousands, and then you handle the biggest matter. So God has an order, right? So now we want to understand the order of God, because if we operate in that order, it pleases God and God will move. Amen. Now, you people that speak with tongues has got gifts of tongues. God bless you. You're needed in this tabernacle. I want you here, but now the things in order. Don't never do it while the preachers are preaching. If you do, you're out of order. And so we talked about last time is, you know, there's a church government, right? We all believe that. It's not the World Council of Churches, but God has established that. He says this, we believe in church government, and the government is ordered of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The pastor is always the head of the church. The pastor is always. And so there's a way that God establishes the local body. And I'm not going to go through what we talked about last time about the headship and different things. So I just hit the highlight there. But I want to go a little bit further into this subject about the order and placing the gifts properly. 1954, question and answers. Now what it is, those gifts are in the world. They're in the church now. The gifts are in the church. But the poor little children get those gifts and don't have the teaching to know how to control it. Okay, so we need teaching. We need to, the teaching helps us, as Brother Bram talks about, to positionally place the body and know who she is, right? Remember, preaching convicts a sinner. You know, it can be preached in a powerful way and bring sinners to repentance, but the teaching is required to positionally place us to know who we are. Now, it says teaching to know how to control it. If you miscontrol it, you'll do more damage than you will good. See? Now he goes on to say in paragraph 328, now when the pastor, the evangelist, or whoever it is of preaching, hold your peace, Paul said to do that. You see, now, and he said, you may all speak one by one. That's true enough. And he said, I would that you would all speak with tongues. That's good. But you can't speak with tongues lest you have the gift of tongues. And no doubt at all, but what, there's many gifts of that in this church now. There's many gifts of it over here in the Methodist church. There's many of it over here in the Baptist church. If it was only preached so the gift could go to operating. So it's got to be preached, and then after that, then they began to come up. You understand? And so when you hear the word of God and you recognize it, then you begin to say, then you begin to live that word, right? You've got to hear the word, you got to get the revelation of it, the realization of it, and then you begin to manifest that word. Amen. Now, if you put seed in the ground and don't cultivate it, what's going to happen to it? See, it will lay there in dry dust and rot. It'll do no good. These gifts have been in the church all along. But just now the waters begin to fall, the Pentecostal rain, to water it and bring forth fruit. Now use it in the right place. So these gifts have got to be developed. They've got to be instructed on. They've got to be cultivated, right? So take, for instance, in the natural that, you know, somebody has a skill, it's got to be developed, right? Even you know, in the congregation, you know, as a young preacher, like, you know, they need development. They need opportunities to let the gift be exercised. They need to be instructed. They need to be mentored on that. And then as they begin to understand more and more, it's like a child growing up, right? And so you mature more and more. So each of us has something that God has called us to, and that we have to realize what that is, and then let God develop that, you know. And God has a way of developing us as individuals and spiritually. He gets us through certain experiences that, you know, Brother Kennedy will go through experiences that I will never go through. I will go through experiences that he never goes through. But it's all for an individual to develop them in the proper way so that they can meet the full potential of what God has called them to. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And so we've got to meet our full potential because God had a picture in his mind, and we've got to get to that place and so that we can take our proper position and then fulfill that into the max extent that he has called us to. And each one of us, because of this age, we are going to come to maturity. Remember the adoption, the placing of sons. We've got to come to that maturity. Holy Ghost, getting the Holy Ghost is only the start, but we've got to let that Holy Ghost mature us and let that gift manifest itself, because each one of us has our own position, our own attribute, our own contribution to the body of Christ. Okay, so it's got to be cultivated. These gifts been in the church all along. He goes on to say, and there's Where the Pentecost is brought reproach to their name, the very name Pentecost you can mention in, the people will just walk away and say nonsense because they've seen a lot of carrying on. So we're talking about gifts misused, okay? Not taught properly, which the people being in sincerity but wasn't taught. So we've got to understand how we operate these things. We just don't do it by feel. We just don't do by, oh, this, you know, it feels right. My emotions feel high. No, it's not that. We operate based on the Word of God. Amen. So Paul said, when I come to the Pentecostal church over there, said, I'll sit in order. It's got to be in order. Everything must be done orderly, just as the Spirit orders. So he said, now if come in and all you begin to speak in tongues and the unlearned comes in, he'll say, well, aren't you all mad? Walk out, right? And so there's a way that God does, but when he says there's prophecy and somebody sees that, you can tell if it's real because, you know, when you hear the discernment line going on and something's called out there and it's very personal that nobody else could know but God, then you can hear the reaction of the individual and know it's God. And then, you know, especially when you see it called out and then that person's healed right there, then that person who's unlearned can say, God is in you of a truth. Because they say, wow, God is with these people. Now, he also says, oh yes, if there be one among you who speaks with tongues and there be no interpreter, let him hold his peace. No matter how much it wants to speak, hold your peace. So this is a part of discipline. Remember we talked about discipline before? God is bringing us to discipline. What is discipline? You know what you're supposed to do, but yet you have an urge to do something else, but you make your body, you make yourself obey. Okay? Because we have desires, you know, whether they're fleshly, whether they're own personal desires and things, and we want to go a certain direction, but God wants us to have the Word of God be foremost, that we have the discipline to stop ourselves and stay within the Word of God rather than follow our feelings, our desires, and different things like that, right? And so the same thing with the gifts, we have to, even though we want to use it because it wants to operate, then but we have to stay within the confines of the Word of God. So that he's bringing us to discipline, you know, and it's self-control. And we know our children, they don't have self-control, so that has to be built into them. We have to teach them that. A child... left to himself doesn't have control, right? And we see that in society today because people aren't disciplining their kids. Look at what we have, right? They get upset and they get corrected or something. They get very upset or they get depressed, right? Because they can't handle, they're not, they haven't been trained. They haven't been disciplined. They haven't been learning self-control. Now, I don't want to belabor too much, a lot of ground to cover here. So it says, that gift wants to operate all the time. See, but you've got to have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit here to know when and how to operate that gift. So somebody who has a preaching gift, right, they may want to preach all the time, but there's times you don't do that, right? I mean, say, you know, the preacher, he's leading songs, and then that's not the time to be preaching, right? Although it wants to operate there, it's leading songs, right? You know, and when you're talking to people, then, you know, sometimes somebody doesn't need to hear preaching when you're talking to them, so, you know, they need listening or something else, and so you got to learn to control that gift. You say, well, glory to God, the Bible said when the Holy Ghost has come, you don't need any teacher. He's a teacher himself. You know what scripture they're referring to in there, of course. In John, when the Comforter comes, the Holy Ghost, he will teach you all things, right? Does that mean we need no teachers? Well, we do, because the fivefold ministry in Ephesians talks about teachers, prophets, apostles, you know, different ones. So, but, you know, it's the Holy Ghost through it all, as we talked about, right? So you have a Holy Ghost-filled pastor that's God called. It's actually the Holy Ghost leading the church. And so when a teacher is filled with the Holy Ghost and he's called and he's teaching and he's yielding himself, then it's actually the Holy Ghost teaching, just like the scripture said. Do you understand? So that's why it's so important that we yield ourselves to God. And so it's not us operating, but it's God operating through us. You say, well, glory to God. The Bible said when the Holy Ghost has come, okay, we've talked about that. Say, I don't have to have anybody teach me. The Holy Ghost teaches me. It does through a teacher. He sets teachers in the church. He said all teachers are all apostles, are all gifts of healing. The Holy Ghost set these things in the church. He operates them all, and each one of them operates orderly. Now, this is going to be interesting to hear because he's going to talk about the harmony of each part of the body operating. He says, now, it's just like my foot. One of them say, I'm going this way. The other one say, I'm going back this way. Now, what are you going to do? So, say this foot wants to go that way. Okay, this foot wants to go that way. What's that going to do to me, right? This arm wants to grab that door over there, and then this one wants... It's each one trying to do its own thing, but it's got to come under a leadership, right? In order for it to operate in harmony and a productive way, that's not going to be very productive. But if the mind is guiding it, then everything is in coordination, and it will produce exactly so... I need to go down the hall that way. So now the feet, both feet and the legs, they're all operating in concert. And then I've got to open the door. Right when I get close to the door, the hand reaches out, moves the door over. Everything is operating in harmony. And so that's how God wants the body of Christ to operate. But it's got to fall under the headship, and that headship is the Holy Ghost. And so when we're all following the Spirit of God, then everything works in harmony together. Okay. In the little church, I admonish you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is from Revelation chapter 4, part 3, 1961. In the little church, I admonish you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to grow in the grace of God. Hold yourself steady and look towards Calvary all the time, taking all the roots of bitterness out of your heart and soul that God might use you at any time. So, you know, does anybody have resentment? Bitterness and different things, God's got to root those things out of us, right? Because then God cannot use us properly when those things are still there. That's why he talks about, you know, if we have an issue with another brother, we've got to go to that brother, we've got to resolve that issue and things so there's no hindrance. And so things in our past, resentment, bitterness from maybe how we were raised, maybe with our parents, maybe with our spouses or different things, those things have got to be cleaned out in order for God to fully use us properly, right? For everything to flow. Because if it's there, then it'll cause a hindrance in some form or fashion. It'll cause a conflict in some form or fashion. So when those are there, then there's a distortation of the Spirit of God moving in the proper way. And so, you know, maybe we have those things, and sometimes they're hard to remove. We can't remove them very easily, but you see, when we open ourselves to God and we yield ourselves, and then we want everything that God can do for us to help us, then that's when God can start to work on those areas, right? You see, there's many people that hold on to different things, and it keeps them from God healing them. And so, you know, say they have resentment or bitterness or something like that, and if you hold on to it, then it'll eat you up. And then some people, it causes anger with inside of them because why did they treat me? And I didn't deserve to be treated that way. I was wronged in different things, and they become mad. But that holding on to that actually starts to destroy them because it'll result into depression many times, and then sometimes into suicidal thoughts. And so we've got to, when we're holding on to those things, then God cannot heal us. So we've got to open it up and let God come in and then heal us. And we've got to forgive and just let go, right? We know the term let go and let God. And that's so true and so simple. But if we let go, then God can come in and start to clean those things out and heal us. But many times we are holding on to those things, you know, we want to, for some reason, hold that grudge or that, you know, put somebody under that, you know, they wronged me and we want to put them under that sometimes. But we got to open that up. And so God He can use you if we take those roots of bitterness out of your heart and soul that God might use you at any time. If you ever fail to do something or a revelation or something comes to you strangely, something warningly or something, be careful. So sometimes, you know, we get this idea or this thought. We've got to be careful sometimes. Sometimes we get this movement, and emotions are very powerful. And so it can drive us to do something, but it says if you get that sometimes, the devil may kind of be driving you into that. Satan is as sly and slick as he can be. See, put it to the word of God and consult your pastor, right? Remember, you have a God-called pastor, Holy Ghost-filled pastor. That person is following God, right? And that person has been positioned that way and given grace to help the body of Christ. Another thing is that person is there because they've had experiences, right? In a lot of different, and sometimes we try to figure it out. We said, I'm just going to pray to God and figure it out. But sometimes we need consultation. Sometimes we need advisement from people that have been up the road a little bit longer than we have, right? And so sometimes we take the word of God, but we look at a narrow angle. But, you know, God has given us so much resources to help us. Now, and you find gifts and so forth creeping up in the church and the operation of these gifts. Before you let it go to operating things first, feel it pressing on your heart. Now, the enemy is real slick, see, and that's just what tears the church to pieces every time is a true gift operated wrong. It's got to be in position and then operate. But so true gift, he talks about operated wrong. See, something God is trying to do and operated wrong. It'll just simply not only hurt you, but it'll tear the whole church up. Now, within the church, but just an example, you know, Elvis Presley had a true gift, right? But operated wrongly. And what did it do? It caused so much damage. We're still feeling the damage of that currently, right? And so that's outside of the church, but the same kind of damage can happen inside the church if it's not operating. So we have to ask for God's guidance. And if we see we have something there, or, you know, whatever it is, music or, you know, other gifts, and we talked about what those gifts were earlier, but we've got to let God develop and guide it. And I believe the pastor is a key person in that as far as helping us with that. Now it says, see, consult it, take it through and through the Bible, then test it and see if it's God or not. Just keep testing it and trying. See if it's perfect. Write down the line and write with the word. Then you're all right, see? As long as the word has said it would be here, would operate this certain way, stay right with it. Don't never get off, no matter what anybody does, how real it seems to be. If it doesn't reflect in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, leave it alone. Don't take no chances. We're in the last days when Satan is just deceiving as he can be. And a lot of times it's not intentional, right? He says, earlier, people sincere trying to do these things, but not taught properly. So, moving on here, our attitude towards correction. So as we step forward and, you know, God begins to develop this gift inside of us, remember there's not just speaking in tongues and different things, there's helps, governments, and different things within the church. So as he begins to develop these things, sometimes we get correction. All of us get correction. Whether it's from the pulpit, whether it's from another brother or sister, right? But our attitude has to always be that we're willing to understand and admit that we could be wrong about something. So he says, sometimes if something operating has to be called or said something about it, called down or something on that order, and the person that's got that gift rejects it, just remember, refuses it, remember the gift wasn't right. So got to be able to listen and be humble. We don't have all the answers. You know, and it can come from anybody, right? And so I've received, you know, inputs, corrections from my children. Yeah. And so you know, should I take the Pharisees' attitude and say, like, you know, I know more than you? You know, have you learned as much as I? I mean, we can take that attitude, but sometimes we've got to listen and just say, you know, could I be wrong about this? It wasn't God in the first place. The Spirit of God always is ready for correction, sweet and humble, willing, see? If it stands up and says, I'll do it anyhow, you know, I'll sometimes just remember arrogant spirits are not of God. Getting in the Spirit, 1961. God wants to call us together in a unity of power to bring back the fullness of the Holy Ghost into the church again with all the spiritual gifts in operation in every local body. He says, in God being misunderstood, now as your father in the gospel, as your pastor, I would like a little later on when your spirits and gifts begin to come to perfection, if you go to watching them flying loose and getting, then you better watch that person. Just let it go because it's not the Spirit of God on them, but when they're sweet and meek and humble and ready and everything, that's the Spirit of God. And if somebody gets out of order and the pastor has to call it down and that spirit flies up, then it's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God always stands, comes to the Word, see? It recognizes the Word every time. Are we all susceptible to that, to, you know, hearing something in correction, and sometimes a blood pressure rises up a little bit, you know, and sometimes we go, you think you know what you're talking about, right? We all have that. That's the initial reaction many times. But we've got to, sometimes maybe that might not be the time that we accept it, right? But when we come back and we pray and then we ponder on that and realize maybe there was something that I did that was incorrect. Maybe that there was a point that that person, even though I don't like the avenue it came in, the way it was said, or the vessel it came through, perhaps there's something that that God was trying to speak through that person to me. Okay, I'm going to hit a few more things here, and then I hope to be able to close on all these items. So he says, God's got to lead you and burden you. So remember, this gift develops, God puts a burden on our heart, right? Because if we're not in our right place and God begins to move us to step up, he makes it so that we're not comfortable where we're at. Can anybody say amen to that? Okay. Whether it was salvation, receiving the Holy Ghost, or stepping up into a higher plane in our walk with Christ, he brings us to a certain level, but then we're not comfortable there anymore. And if you can look at the eagle, you know how the eagles get kicked out. They got to do that in order for them to grow, right? And so God puts on us an unction when he's trying to get us to do something. Now he says here, but we have to watch. God leads his children. The footsteps of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. They are led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you think you're making a mistake, but if the Spirit is leading you, go do it anyhow. The Holy Spirit tells some of you people in wheelchairs, get up and start walking. Walk anyhow. So remember the woman that to pray for the sick or to pray for the little baby. There was an unction on her heart. And so she had to relieve that burden. So if God's unctioning you to do something, go do it. Not thinking, not reasoning, you know, what are people going to think about me? What are, you know, those type of things. You've got to follow the leading of the Spirit. How am I going to do it? That's not your business. Just listen what the Spirit says. Tells you to come at the altar. How many times have you seen that God has moved on you, unctioned you, and you're like, me to do that? How is that going to happen, right? Well, God doesn't always tell you how it's going to happen. So we've just got to take the first step. And then God will, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and we continue walking in that path. He says, I don't care what anybody says. What the Holy Spirit says, go do it. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, many times I went to cities, I thought I made a mistake, but I just kept on battling on. After a while, it wasn't a mistake. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to you, but you just do it. Now, a lot of people just talk bad about poor old Jonah, and they said he was a backslider. I don't think so. This is a greater than Solomon is here in 1962. I don't think so. I think the Bible says that the footsteps of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. Now, we do things that we don't understand why we do it, but we just keep still. As long as you're led of the Spirit, go do it anyhow. It may be contrary to our thinking, but when the Holy Spirit said go, we go. And it's very powerful, I believe. You know, when you have that, it's something that's driving you to do it, and the reasoning start to fade away, and the obstacles that are there, then you can kind of push through those obstacles when that unction is there, and it's very powerful. Some time ago, I read a story of the days of our noble, one of the presidents I think the nation ever had, the greatest president was Lincoln, not because that he come from Kentucky, but because he was a great man. He was deprived of an education, but yet was something in his heart, some purpose. I like a man of vision. I like people that's got something they're fighting for, just not lay around. Well, ever what comes along will be all right. Oh, be up and at it. And Lincoln never let his education stand in the way. He had something to do. I think every Christian ought to be that way. Find your purpose and go do it. And so each one of us has a purpose in life specifically for us that God wants us to fulfill, right? And so he puts an unction there, and so we have to go fulfill that. There's a couple more things I want to read on this, and I have to move on. So he says, he could have sent another prophet, but he ordained Jonah. He could have sent somebody else, Brother Francis, but he sent you. So God calls each one of us individually. And even Elijah wouldn't have done. Jeremiah wouldn't have done. Moses wouldn't have done. It was Jonah had to go to Nineveh. That's all there was to it. He commissioned him and told him to go. And when he says, go there, Jonah, go to Nineveh, nobody else can do it but Jonah. And when God tells you something, you've got to do it. Nobody else. So you say, but I'm not as capable. Let that brother do it, you know? How many have said that before? That brother should be doing it, but God's calling you to do it, right? Gideon could have said, you know, that other brother, he's got more, you know, talents and this and that and all these. Why don't you let him do that? No, I've called you, Gideon. And so sometimes we think that we can't do it just because we look at ourselves and our abilities. Remember, but God's looking at a different picture. And so, you know, we say that, oh, that preacher should be doing it or that other person should be doing it. It's us. He's calling. And so when he puts that on us, then, you know, we got to step out. Now, so the same thing, and I'm just going to paraphrase here just for time, but he, you know, Brother Perry Green, he had a burden on his heart, but he, you know, he had those things to deal with. He was in Texas. He had to move and different things. And he said, you know, one thing he told Brother Perry Green, he said he had it upon his heart to do this type of action. It was setting up this revival. He says, I told him there's only one way to get it off your heart. Go do it, right? And so when you relieve the burden that's on your heart. And so when God is, you know, we have these gifts and God is calling us to step out into more. You know, we got the Holy Ghost, but he wants us to do more, right? And so we've got to do that and not just be sitting there in our current position. Now, there's a few things I'm going to talk about here because as we begin to move out, people don't understand sometimes. You know what I mean? So God calls you to something and you begin to take your position in the Word of God, and then some people misunderstand what you're trying to do. And so they will say all kinds of different things about what you're doing, and it could be negative, right? But you're trying to do what God has called you to do, but there's critics out there. And so I just want you to be aware of that as we begin to take these steps, that you will get criticism. So we'll take a perfect example, Jesus. The Jews, the Pharisees, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Well, he was. And so they couldn't understand what he was doing, and they said, you're trying to be God. Well, he was. So remember, though, we are sons and daughters of God. And so when we begin to step out as sons and daughters of God and claim our position, what are you trying to do and say you are, right? I'm claiming my rights. I'm claiming my God-given privileges. And so I'm not trying to bring glory to myself. I'm glory to God because he's called me to this. And he said, this is my right and my privileges, so I'm going to take it, right? But you see, people, they can misunderstand that. Now, he says, then Jesus tells him, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So if we're doing the works of God and God is leading us and we're following that leading, the works will be identified as the works of Christ. Amen. So the things that we say, they may not want to listen to that, but look at the pattern of the life, right? And those things will testify that you're following God. Listen, those Greeks failed to see him. Why? Sirs, we would see Jesus. They failed to see him because he was clothed in his human temple, God in a man. Human flesh was what blinded them. And so as we step out, they look at the man, but it's God in the person, right? They think, Brother Kennedy is trying to be something, but it's just God driving Brother Kennedy to do that, right? I know I'm just going to hit one or two more points here, brothers. He was not only equal with God, he was God himself. Amen. Now, there's a couple other ones I want to mention here. Remember David. Remember God had called him to be the king of Israel, right? And so as he began to, I don't know if he realized it at that time when he began to face Goliath, but it was an unction moving on him to start to step into that role a little bit. So he started to step ahead of his brothers, right? He started to go in that direction. You know, Joseph, just like Joseph, he was beginning to move in that direction. And remember when he came into where Goliath was, then something was moving in his heart. He didn't like what he was seeing. And so he said, David began to speak to the man. He said, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I believe there was an unction going up and it was some holy anger rising up within David and that he should defy the armies of the living God. But look what his brother said. He said, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He didn't understand, right? And so he's trying to put cold water on him. But you see what I'm saying? So people are going to try to put cold water on what you're trying to do, but the unction of the Holy Spirit's driving you. And so we need to continue stepping out, right? And so and David's like, what have I done now? He didn't understand why his brother was saying that. But it was because his brother did not understand. He did not have the revelation. And so many times people, there's nothing against them. They just don't understand sometimes. And God hasn't given them the revelation. But I believe that as, we do these things, that the life and the actions, they prove that it was correct, that it was God in it all. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we love you and thank you for your word, dear Lord. And Lord Jesus, we just need to fully understand where you've called us to, O Lord, and how you've placed us, O Lord, and where direction that we need to go and to yield to all the things that you're saying, O Father. Help us, dear Lord, as we continue in our walk. Help us to receive the revelation, O Lord, the clear understanding. Help us to draw closer to you in all that we do and everything, dear Lord. Bless the brothers and sisters that are here, O Father. Lord Jesus, may you keep them. And Lord, for the service, the song service, the preaching of the word, bless it, O Lord. And let everything be done according to your will. Meet the needs of your people, we ask. In thy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.